Ryan DeBrain here. It's the night after, night two. As you can tell by my voice, I'm already a little spent. It was a crazy night last night as well. I was double booked, I guess you could say. I had a family gathering at 7 o'clock, and I had to bail at 8 right just to get on time of PWG, and luckily it started right when I got there. So, yeah, it was another great night, another incredible night of action. Some shocks and surprises, and yeah, let's get started. Candice LeRae versus Rich Swann. Candice LeRae defeated Rich Swann with a roll-up. This match was really good. It got the crowd involved. Kind of a shocker here just because Rich Swann lost to Candice LeRae two nights in a row, but I guess the first night was the setup to make you think that Rich Swann was going to get his win back, but I guess that was just a ruse, I guess, because knowing smarks like us, we like to predict things like that, so I guess it was kind of something to, you know, outsmart the smarks, I guess. So Candice LeRae's in the second round, which is really awesome in retrospect. So you never know, a deep run by Candice, and I don't know if she'll win it, but that'd be something. But next match was Johnny Gargano against Chuck Taylor. This was a great comedy match, playing off their old, you know, former best friend tag team thing that they had, you know, the one that kind of Trent took over that role when Johnny Gargano went single. So this was fun. This was great. You know, some good spots in there. A lot of it was comedy, but that's because it's Chuck Taylor, and Chuck Taylor's the man when it comes to comedy. So, you know, this was not, you know, a full blown effort by Johnny Gargano just because of the comedy involved. So they're just kind of saving it for night three. But this was a great match for the crowd, especially, and the crowd was really involved. So some good stuff there, and Johnny Gargano got the win with the Gargano Escape. The next match, Ricochet defeated Chris Sabin in a great junior heavyweight style matchup, the kind of junior heavyweight style match you'd see in New Japan. Chris Sabin looking great here. You know, I guess TNA really motivated him because he really, really reacted to those TNA, you know, FTNA chants. So, yeah, I guess TNA really messed Chris Sabin up, I guess, because Chris Sabin seems to be holding the grudge, but whatever. But this was a great match, especially since, you know, you'd expect some heavy, heavy dives outside between these two, and there really wasn't that. It was more in-ring, which is really kind of cool, and, you know, especially for Ricochet, considering Ricochet is all about the high-flying dives outside, and this match didn't really have that. It was all about the in-ring, you know, more akin to that junior heavyweight style that New Japan does with more of that heavy junior heavyweight, you know, Jushin Liger style, you know, some brainbusters, some power bombs, that kind of thing. Ricochet wins with the 630 from the top rope, and a great match here, great junior heavyweight style, and looks like Ricochet's really, really over with the crowd, so, and he seems to be the guy that everyone's picking this year to win, but of course, when it comes to PWG, when everyone has a winner that everyone's, you know, unanimously going for, like Drake Younger last year, we all know something goes awry, and, you know, booking never seems to go away of the fans when it comes to Bola, so. The next match before intermission was Red Dragon against Biff Busick and Drew Gulak. This was fantastic, hard-hitting, you know, technical, old-school style that that's really really gets the fans going. And, you know, just because of those hard-hitting shots, the crowd just becomes shocked sometimes by the amount of intensity behind them. So especially these four guys, they really bring it when they bring the strikes and the submissions. So all these counters and suplexes and whatnot, and they just, you know, brutalized each other. And Drew Gulak, I guess, subtly turned heel, I guess, because he was, you know, as he was cheering Biff Busick on from the apron, he was very much, do it for CZW. And that got really some heat from the crowd, and some fans cheered. But, yeah, so the whole thing about, you know, people trying to chant CZW to PWG show, yeah, don't bring that shit here. Because you're going to get over as a heel quick. And that's what happened with Drew Gulak, so. Very opinionated as Drew Gulak, but, you know, I'm glad he's in PWG this weekend, and I hope him and Biff Busick will definitely be regulars in the future because they bring some fresh, unique matches to the table. And, I mean, just imagine these two against, you know, the likes of AJ Styles, Trevor Lee. You know, you're mixing up these, you know, almost like the territories are coming together in PWG. You got CZW guys facing off with, you know, New Japan guys now. So, especially with this tournament, you're getting really that big, unique, you know, pirate kind of feel where it's pirate waters where anything can happen. You know, contracts are really, you know, on open blind waters. So it was really nice to see the CZW guys come out this weekend, but I hope they come back because they did a great job here. And Red Dragon got the win with the Chasing the Dragon on Drew Gulak, and great hard-hitting match. And I think Biff Busick and Drew Gulak would be a great team for DDT4 And it almost seems like Red Dragon might be the shoe-in to win DDT4 at this point if Kyle O'Reilly remains champion up to that point. And then, Red Dragon, I mean, you can almost do the double champ thing that they did with Kevin Steen and El Generico with Kyle O'Reilly just because he's so talented. But, Red Dragon is really over with the crowd, too. So hopefully we'll see maybe a rematch between these two teams at DDT4. You never know. So, and then after intermission, Matt Sydal faced Chris Hero. And, of course, the crowd was distracted by Chris Hero's weight again. But, whatever. Because of the size of Sydal and Hero, it turned out to be a big man, little man match with, Chris Hero just trying to get the upper hand the entire time, using his strength and his size to overpower him. But Matt Sydal is great with the small babyface comebacks because of his size. So once he got in a few hard kicks and some moonsaults to Chris Hero, he finally got his win with the shooting star press from the top. And this was good. I thought this was going to be a little underwhelming because, both guys are coming back from WWE style. And I guess Chris Hero's more adjusted to the indie style again. But Matt Sydal, I heard, was a little trouble adjusting to back to the indie style. But he's definitely getting he's getting it back, basically. He's getting used to that indie style again. So this is good. And Matt Sydal advanced to the next round. So maybe Chris Hero will be in a tag match the next night. I don't know. But we'll see where it goes from there. And luckily, this match was not 36 minutes. It was more under, I think, 15. But, Chris Hero, we love you, but just don't go 36 minutes when everyone's, getting tired. So the next match was a fantastic match between Zack Sabre Jr. and Adam Cole. As you know, Zack Sabre Jr. had a star-making performance on night one. So the crowd was jacked to see him, especially against the number one enemy, Adam Cole. And this was great. The same they played off last night with Zack Sabre Jr. just out-wrestling Adam Cole, and Adam Cole having to slow things down to bring it to his level so he can get the upper hand, and almost using cheating tactics to get the upper advantage. And the back and forth at the end with Zack Sabre Jr. trying to get the win, and Adam Cole doing everything in his power to hit the Florida Keys. So it was great at the end, and then out of nowhere, Zack Sabre Jr. gets the O'Connor roll and just pops the crowd really loud because he defeated Adam Cole. Adam Cole was, playing sad face afterward. It was awesome, but this match was great. Zack Sabre Jr. again, just looking like a superstar, just getting the crowd behind him, having this great in-ring charisma, and just, tearing. Literally, it looked like he was just tearing Adam Cole's arm apart, like part by part, finger by finger, knuckle by knuckle, just grinding the wrist around in circles and circles. It was just an amazing sight to watch, and just an amazing, technical performance mixed in with the crowd, and even a few World of Sport chants. So there you go, UK fans. Zack Sabre Jr. bringing the UK flavor to your Reseda, California. So this was a great match here. The next match was the last tournament match of the night, and probably, as of right now, match of the weekend. Definitely, probably the match of the year at PWG. I gotta watch it on DVD again just because this match was incredible, but I don't know how it compares to the street fight. But Kenny Omega and ACH had an incredible, incredible encounter. A lot of crowd interaction that played into the match, especially as I guess you've seen and heard with the pictures online now. ACH wore a Stone Cold vest for like the second half of the match, and it played into the match because there is this guy in the front row for the last two nights dressed as Stone Cold Steve Austin. No shirt, just a vest and jeans. Looking like the super fan that he is. And then halfway during the match, Kenny Omega asked the fan for the vest, and it became involved in the match, and the crowd, and then the guy just lost his shit. I mean, he was probably having the time of his life knowing that these two guys are using his Stone Cold Steve Austin vest for the match. And then, as you know, Stone Cold Steve Austin, you just got to do the stunner. So ACH played the role of Stone Cold, and Kenny Omega played the role of The Rock, and it's like all the all the attempts to recreate WrestleMania 17 were here. Especially when ACH tried to hit the stunner and couldn't do it, and Kenny Omega kept reversing it, and then finally he hit the stunner, and the crowd just lost their shit. And not only did Kenny Omega sell the stunner, he sold it just like The Rock did, doing the overselling and rolling backwards and landing into the ropes, that kind of thing. It was a tremendous sight to see, and just a tremendously entertaining match. An incredible near falls at the end. And not only did it play with like Austin Rock, it also played subtly with the whole Street Fighter Dragon Ball thing for all you nerds out there, because as you know, Kenny Omega does the Hadouken, which is the Street Fighter sort of version of a Kamehameha. And the Kamehameha is the main, you know, energy blast of Goku from Dragon Ball. So it was very much a Dragon Ball versus Street Fighter feel, especially when at one point in the match, Kenny Omega did hit the Hadouken, and ACH just kind of hulked up and absorbed it and then landed a Kamehameha in return, and both guys just went down, and the place just lost it. This match was just so incredible, especially with the crowd interaction. Chance of match of the year afterward, the near falls at the end. This match was just insanely entertaining and amazing spots and just these incredible near falls. And it seemed like ECH had this, he had one of the greatest matches I've ever seen. one of the greatest ACH matches I've ever seen. Like, literally, it's just the way that they just adapted, you know, on the fly, just seeing, you know, the artwork involved, adapting on the fly, you know, relying on the crowd. Just a beautiful match to watch, just from an entertainment standpoint. It might not be the greatest technical match in the world, but they did have the dramatic near fall and the crowd interaction and the crowd desperately wanting ACH, or should I say a stone cold ACH, to win the match. And instead of "this is awesome" chants, there were "this is Austin" chants in this match. So, I mean, there's so much stuff going on in this match in terms of, like, pop culture references, wrestling references, witty humor mixed in with, you know, awesome high-flying wrestling, you know what I mean? It was just a tremendous match. Everyone knew this match was going to be great going in, but it actually exceeded my expectations, which I didn't even think was possible. This was definitely the match of the night, match of the weekend so far, but this was just a tremendous match. I mean, if you just get this DVD for this match alone, it's worth it. I mean, Kenny Omega and ACH may never face off again because of the schedule, you know? So this one time they did it, they made it special. And, I mean, it seems with Kenny Omega, he's always adopting on the fly when it comes to, like, entertaining comedy matches that mix in with regular matches. Like, for instance, I was there when Kenny Omega did the John Jacob Jingleheimer Schmidt gimmick with Bryan Danielson in 2009. I mean, I was there when I saw it live happen, the spontaneity of it all. And seeing Kenny Omega just adopt on the fly, and then ACH has the ability to do that too, it just meshed well together, and this was a beautiful sight to see. I can't say enough about this match. Definitely the best opening match, or first round match of the tournament, that's for sure, and that's saying a lot, considering there's been a lot of great opening round matches in this tournament. Definitely check this match out. And then the main event was the Young Bucks against Bad Influence. This was another good match. They faced each other everywhere except PWG, so this was kind of the first time that the PWG crowd got a taste of it, and it was kind of a double heel match, but at the same time, you know, it was more towards, 50-50 now that I think about it. Young Bucks win with, as you know, they like to do the Spike Tombstone. I don't know if they call it the Indie Taker, the Overtaker, whatever you want to call it. This time it was a 450 Spike Tombstone with Nick Jackson doing a 450 before, assisting Matt Jackson with the Tombstone. So there you go, a new finisher in the repertoire of the Young Bucks to add some more to their repertoire. So this was a fun match, a good way to send the crowd home. It just all leads tonight too. This is a great great night, probably on par with last night. I give it a 9 out of 10. Maybe slightly better just because of that Kenny Omega ACH match, which is tremendous. For right now, as of what I've heard, I don't know if it's true or not, but there is an announced lineup. I mean, not announced, but the word going online that the first round matches, or the second round match, excuse me, are as follows. But please take this with a grain of salt. I have no idea if this is true. From what I've heard on, it was Wrestling Observer, so take it with a grain of salt, I guess. It was basically the second round as of right now, rumored to be not officially 100%, is Kyle O'Reilly versus Kenny Omega, Candice LeRae versus Zack Sabre Jr., rematches from previous bolas with Michael Elgin against Ricochet and Roderick Strong against Mike Seidel, and TJP against Gargano, and AJ Styles against Trevor Lee. So I don't know if that's official, but those are some tremendous matches right there. I don't. If Candice and Zach does happen, that's going to be a big crowd split. So I don't know what's going to happen there. I don't know who's going to be the de facto heel on that one. We'll see. But AJ Styles and Trevor Lee will be one hell of a matchup. And, you know, the younger generation versus the newer generation, really excited for that one. So, in terms of who's left, if I had to pick the final, my final would be Trevor Lee, Ricochet, and Kyle O'Reilly. I don't know if that'll happen. We'll see where it goes. But the idea of Kyle O'Reilly winning Bola as the world champion, I mean, you could do that, but then you really don't build up another challenger. I mean, you do have Roderick Strong as a challenger, but I think the fact that he's already number one contender, he's the bridesmaid to Bola all the time, but so is Michael Elgin now. So, I mean, maybe putting it on a guy like Trevor Lee, you know, you would skyrocket him to that level. I mean, he's already on the rise anyway, so, I mean, it would do wonders for his career to just to win Bola. You know, he's only been on 3 or 4 PWG shows, and to win Bola and have the crowd on your side already is something. So it'd be tremendous if Trevor Lee won. But I don't know. You still got Ricochet. Everyone's picking Ricochet. So when everyone picks the same Bola winner, usually it's never the Bola winner that you want. So last year, everyone picked Drake Younger, and it turned out Kyle O'Reilly got the victory. So I think Ricochet will maybe make the final, maybe make the semifinal, but lose to the guy who will win Bola. So we'll see there. And give Candice and Zach Lorette, or Candice and Zack Sabre Jr., who's going to be the heel in that match? You know what I mean? Because, I mean, they're basically the two big baby faces right now, so who's going to be the heel in that one? That's going to be really interesting if this lineup is true. So this is all speculation, but based on the final, you know, we'll see where it goes. I mean, I think it's going to be O'Reilly, Trevor Lee, and Ricochet, but we'll see where that goes. And, I mean, if this is true, I mean, are you going to put Trevor Lee over the IWGP Heavyweight Champion? You know, is AJ Styles going to lose in this tournament? There's a lot of questions that will be answered tonight, and it's going to be really exciting. So definitely check this show out. Night 2 was awesome. Definitely a 9 out of 10, on par with last night, and definitely check out that ACH Kenny Omega match. So I'll do a review after Night 3, and I'll talk to you guys again soon. It's Brian DeBrain on Twitter, and thanks for listening. Peace.